the series is tied, two games apiece.
Where are you today?
Edmonton celebrate. Where
Jamie,
am I?
Where are you?
What? I'm in a studio in Saskatchewan in the Ralco Radio Building. Where are you today?
Because at the beginning of the playoffs, you sold the Oilers down the river. Then they won the first series. You were back on the bandwagon. And then at some point, I remember you jumping off again.
I was never on the bandwagon.
Okay, you were running alongside of it.
I was a casual observer of
yesterday,
the bandwagon.
You were completely, you've been on and off the bandwagon in this series.
Let's clarify what I said yesterday on this very program. On this very program, what did I say? I said the Florida Panthers were going to get off to a big start. They'd chase Stuart Skinner. Calvin Pickard would come in. The Edmonton Oilers would come back. However, I said they'd fall a goal short of their comeback and Florida would win. So I was pretty well 75% right.
It's a legitimate question.
I'm not predicting this series anymore. I'm done. Nobody can. If you think you can, it's just because you're pulling the horseshoe out of your keister. That's the only way you are getting anything right when you have no feeling. And I'm not talking to Locker. I'm talking to you out there in radio world who are going, I've predicted every game so far. You got lucky. That is it. There is no statistical evidence. There's no hint of what is going to come next in this series. None. Zero. It's a worthless exercise to predict. Locker's 2 for 2 because he just picks the Oilers to win every game. He's picked them all 4 times. So I'm on neither bandwagon. I'm sitting at home. Loving this, though. This series is phenomenal.
I knew they were going to come back after the end of the first period last night. I did. I did. I did. I knew it.
Let's go!
100% I did.
And now, the starting lineup.
Who's more full of it? Jamie or Locker on this Friday afternoon? I pick Locker. Let's get to the starting lineup. The top sports headlines. Yes, about last night.
Breaking free is Draisaitl to the net. Score! Leon Draisaitl has tied the series with his 4th OT winner in the playoffs. Final score, Edmonton 5, Florida 4, in overtime.
Jack's memorial service will be on Monday afternoon.
Have you got the Spanish call?
My goodness, I can't believe you didn't hear thunk as he ran out of air and collapsed.
Beep.
My lord. Jack's healthy. I was just kidding. He made it through the night. The Spanish call.
Arriba, cuidado, que se viene. Los Oilers se dispara. Gol! Gol! Gol!
Yes, Leon Draisaitl.
What channel is that?
Breaks the NHL record for most overtime winners in a single postseason with his 4th, 2nd in this series. Series is tied 2 games apiece. Edmonton tomorrow night, 6:15-ish puck drop. Of course, it'll be on one of the screens at our gigantic watch party with the Green Zone game day with the Riders and the Oilers games tomorrow.
It'll be interesting to see if this goes 7, we're going to have another conflict with a Riders game next week.
Probably going to have another watch party, too.
We'll stick with the
What's
NHL.
What's more gigantic than gigantic? Humongous? Is that the next one? Anyway, sorry.
What rhymes with humongous? The Jets' Connor Hellebuck walks away with the Vezina.
Come on in, Tom.
Where's the other trophy?
Everybody wants to win the heart.
Congrats, buddy. So happy for you.
That moment was like putting a little cherry on top. You know, looking back, I'll probably picture this day as one of the greatest of my career.
So they walked out the Vezina, and he's seen that one before. I think he's won it three times, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yes. And then they, so he was fishing, and then his boat comes up. And
you
then
hate these
the
videos,
trophies
don't
thing
you?
Coming out. It just,
I like them. They're trying to do something different.
I enjoyed that it wasn't a bunch of guys in suits at an awards night.
Yeah.
Who didn't want to be there because most of them just lost in the playoffs and they want to be in Cancun already.
And the families are surprising the players, right?
Like,
yeah. I like them. Anyway, and of course, so the Vezina is the best goalie in the league. The Hart is the MVP of the league in the regular season. And Hellebuck got his presentation a couple of days ago, and then we got to see the video yesterday. Hellebuck is the first goalie to claim the Hart since Montreal's Carey Price a decade ago.
Let's get to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Depth chart is out, and Kadeem Carey is on it.
And they got Carey! Touchdown! First and goal. It's caught! Touchdown! Kadeem Carey!
Yes, picked up over the weekend. He will play his first game in green against the Tiger Cats. AJ Ouellette's good to go. He is listed as the starter. Jacob Brammer's also healthy on the O-line, so he'll be back to guard. Canadian Daniel Johnson will start at left tackle on the offensive line. And a couple of former Rams will make their season debuts with the Riders tomorrow. Jackson Ford and receiver Deshaun Mims, of course, Kean Schaefer-Baker, CJ Avery added to the six-game injured list. A reminder, Acre 21 Boston Pizza location in the Greens tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Green Zone pregame show.
Let's
live.
Go.
Watch party begins at 5, and of course, the Oiler game at 6 o'clock.
Come join us. CFL Thursday Nighter went to the Bombers last night.
Back to Peterson. Found a hole right up the middle, down the 15 wide open. Touchdown! Trebler looking deep. Corner out, drops it in there.
Brady Olivieri, he got hurt. So did Nathan Rourke. We don't have a complete status update on their injuries after last night. But the game went to the Bombers. 34-20 was the final. Strebler had a good night. Three touchdowns. So it was a lot closer than the score might seem through the first half of the game or so.
Yeah, Oliveira looks like he might be out longer term with a maybe shoulder injury or something like that.
Yeah.
Bombers impressed. Meanwhile, locally, the Regina Red Sox have a new owner as the Regina Pats and Queen City Sports have purchased the team.
The common denominator to the success of the WCBL is private ownership. The teams that have moved away from the nonprofit are thriving.
And that is what's happening with the Regina Red Sox. That is Gary Brotzel. He will remain in, of course, Queen City Sports and Entertainment, owned by the Semple family. Sean Semple, the CEO, owners of Brand Industries, as they grow their sports entities in the city of Regina. And, of course, both teams are looking for a new rink and a new ballpark in the future. Of course, tomorrow we've got Oilers and Riders. Join us, Acre 21 location, Boston Pizza, for our watch party. But coming up next, All or Nothing with Britton Gray on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. By the way, we're looking for tunes for Dad going into Father's Day. I'll request Friday, 1-877-332-8255. What would Dad be pumping with the old record players back in the day, cassette deck in the car, CDs, 1-877-332-82.
Sega.
5-5. As we get to Britton Gray's All or Nothing. Now, Tavon Campbell has always been an athlete, the former U of R Ram, a track, football, rugby player, but it was the gridiron where he would start to excel as he went from the CFL to the National Football League, but now he's back again. And Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray has more in this week's All or Nothing on the evolution of the defensive back.
Tavon Campbell has had a football career many can only dream of. The defensive back played a few years in the CFL before making the jump to the NFL, where he spent 6 years, and he made an impact there as well.
And touchdown! Tavon Campbell picks off Flacco's first pass attempt.
But now he's back in a city he loves to hopefully win a Grey Cup.
I attribute this city to my family. And, you know, I met my fiance here. Her dad also played for the Riders back in 89 when they won a Grey Cup. And, you know, my son was born here and kind of just created a family and built a family from there. So it means a lot. It's just like, I don't know. It's like it's the second home, you know, they say.
At the beginning of his journey, many described him as a raw athlete. In fact, Campbell still holds the record for the fastest 40-yard dash time at the CFL Combine.
You know, a few years later, people hitting me up, oh, the record's still standing. And I'm like, damn, it must be good, man. But nah, just being out there running, you know, they got, back in the days, they had fast guys like Banks and stuff. And having to go with them and compete against them and just being step for step with them kind of showed me like, okay, I am quick.
Over the years, that athlete has been molding into the player he is now.
Beginning of my career was more refining my physical skills of, you know, technique and whatnot. But I think towards the end of my career was a lot about the knowledge of the game and just understanding offense more.
Current Riders offensive coordinator Mark Mueller was the quarterback with the Rams when Campbell was there. He's seen him refine his skills every time he's taken to the field.
He's got better every day of every year, not just with the Rams, but when he was in the CFL, when he went to the NFL, he's come back. And now here with the Riders, getting back, you know, with us getting back to the CFL game, I think he just works hard. I mean, that's what you want from a guy like him.
One person who was there for the start of his pro career is his coach, Josh Bell. Bell was a defensive back with Calgary when Campbell was there.
As I got to watch him evolve, even playing in nickel situations in the NFL, I watched him learn how to play with his speed, right? His speed could have been a detriment at certain points, but he learned how to win and use the nitro button and when not to. And saw him turn into a playmaker a little bit. He got around the ball a little bit more.
Now Bell believes Campbell has become a great defender.
I think now it's like a rose through the concrete. Now we're just going to see him blossom even more. We're going to see more of the thumbs down, as right when they tried him with Geno down in the red zone, right? Geno is one of our best receivers in this league. For him to instantly get there, not have respect for the man, and just play ball. A lot of guys get in that position and they fret because it's Geno. TC was looking to get that ball, right?
But even though he's been playing pro football since 2015, Campbell still feels there's a lot of room to grow.
I do feel refined. I feel like I'm still just learning, though, because I can never have too much information. But yeah, no, I definitely do feel a little bit of weight off my shoulder compared to my first year when I'm coming in and, you know, trying to learn everything on the fly. And yeah, just more comfortable.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
I wasn't born for digging deep holes. I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but pretty good drinking beer.
Father's Day requests heading into the weekend. 1-877-332-8255. Dallas said this is a great dad song. Is that an accurate portrayal of your fatherhood there, Locker? I'm pretty good at drinking beer, but not much around the house.
I am
listening to your conversation about the barbecue again.
Stop it. Stop.
You've been trying to put that thing together for like a month and a half.
I'm getting some conflicting information about how to hook it up.
So anyways, 1-877-332-8255 is the text line if you want to request a song.
The power outage in Regina was not my fault today, okay? The squirrel.
If you want a request for dad, or maybe you're a dad and you want a request for yourself, 1-877-332-8255.
Oh, can I? I'm a dad.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I'm going to get a request in.
Let's get to Rick.
Scotty ignores all my requests, so.
Rick Zamperit, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, joining us here on the Green Zone to get set for tomorrow's football game, the Riders and the Tabbies. Rick, thanks for joining us again.
Gentlemen, my pleasure. How are you?
It's great, and it's great to have you back as the play-by-play voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Rick.
Yeah, as long as they can start winning, it would be even better, but I can't control that, so fingers crossed for this weekend. I know you guys don't want to hear that, but there is a starving fan base here in the Hammer, so we're hoping for a W tomorrow night.
What are your expectations, Rick, for this Ticats team this year, based on what you're seeing early here?
Going into training camp, given the off-season stuff that we saw, Ted Govea coming in, and unfortunately he's battling a serious health issue as we speak, but the moves that he made to, you know, bolster some of the question marks, or at least try to answer some of the question marks, most of them on defense, I, and I think many other CFL observers, thought, okay, yeah, these make sense. These are, they're adding depth pieces. They're getting some star players in terms of guys like Deshaun Amos, drafting well with Devin Verisic and getting Isaiah Banya out of BYU. The acquisitions that they made, many of them former Blue Bombers, seemed to make sense for what this roster needed. So my expectation was, we're going to see a little bit of a bump in the win column. Now, does that mean 9 wins this year or double digits perhaps? I just don't know. It's going to have to come down to each and every game. Can they make the most of their opportunities? And if last week is any example, so far the jury's out, because it seemed like many of the chances that they had before them against the Stampeders last weekend, they didn't take advantage of. So they got to right the ship.
Bull Levi Mitchell, it was a weird year for him last year. At one point, they went with Taylor Powell, and then he got hurt, so Bull came back in, and then Bull, really took off at the back end of last year. He's talking big on how good he feels going into this season. So where are you with Bo this year? Some people early last year, he's done, it's over. But what are your expectations for Bo and the Tiger Cats?
When you add Kenny Lawler to a receiving core that already includes almost automatic 1,000-yard guy in Tim White, an emerging Canadian star in Keandre Smith, the sure-handed, rookie of the year candidate until he got hurt in the late stages of the year, Shamar Bridges, and running back Greg Bell out of the backfield with a pretty good offensive line in which he was, I think, the second fewest sacks allowed in the CFL. With all that being said, and given what he did last year, I'm expecting even more this year, because for the first 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks last year, he was okay throwing for a lot of yards, getting some touchdowns, but too many turnovers, and that really led to the ultimate decision to start Taylor Powell midway through the season. He got hurt in that start, and then Bo just took off like a rocket. I'm expecting more of the second half of last year as opposed to the first. Now, I know he's 35, but now he's got a new toy in Lawler. This is year 3 of him in this offense, really 2 solid years with head coach Scott Milanovich. And I know they butted heads early on in the season last year because of the turnover issue, but I think they're on the same page. So I'm expecting maybe not 5,500 passing yards, but at least more wins than losses here in 2025.
I did want to touch on the Milanovich relationship, Bo and Scott. But you've already sort of cleared that up. That seems to be, as whatever the issues were, they're better?
Yeah, I think it's fine. And, it was Scott hates turnovers, and especially from the quarterback position. And, a few of those interceptions were tip balls, and they went off the hands of receivers, but some of them weren't. And Milanovich knows he's not always going to get or ever going to get a perfect game from his quarterback or his offense. But if they can minimize turnovers and maximize those opportunities, especially in the red zone, that's what he wants to see out of the offense. And I think we definitely saw that in the second half of last year. And so I think because of that success, they not necessarily mended fences, but they're seeing the same thing and they're pulling the rope the same way. So they're on the same page.
Rick Zamperin joining us, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, ahead of tomorrow's game against the Saskatchewan Roughriders for Week 2 of CFL action, the last game of the week for Week 2. So we saw the debut of Kenny Lawler coming over from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I've spoken to him for our pregame show tomorrow. He's pretty pumped working with Bo, but they have Tim White, they have Shamar Bridges. When you look at the addition of Kenny Lawler, how big of a boost could this be to the production of Bo Levi Mitchell and Scott Milanovich's offense?
Well, it should be big, because here's a perennial all-star, has a massive catch radius, can get separation, seems to be on the same page with Bo. There hasn't really been a timing issue. It's going to come down to there's only one football to throw to one particular guy. So when he gets his opportunity, Lawler is going to have to do it, and Bo's going to have to get it there. And that goes to the other guys, too. But you know, Kenny's going to make some space for Tim, and he's going to make some space for Shamar on the other side of the field, and that might open up the run game. And, you know, Mitchell threw 50 times last week, and head coach Scott Milanovich earlier on this week said they don't want to do that. You know, if they can get it down to 30, because they're running the ball much better, and that's going to be a big focus tomorrow night, is getting Greg Bell into the action, getting big, you know, rushes on first down, or at least, you know, 5 to 7 to maybe even first down territory on those first touches. The run game is going to be a big focus tomorrow night. How good it's going to be remains to be seen. Week one was an absolute disaster when it came to Greg Bell's running ability, because there wasn't much there. And when there was, he didn't do much with it. So as good as Lawler is going to be and open up some opportunities for the other guys in the receiving core, Milanovic wants a much more balanced attack in 2025. And I think every head coach and every offensive coordinator wants that, because you know you're going to have an opportunity to put more points on the board. So we'll see if that happens starting tomorrow night.
So you must be looking at my notes, Rick, because we keep jumping into the next question. No, it's fine. Outside of what you were just saying there, what are the keys for a home win for Hamilton over the Riders tomorrow night?
Well, one thing, and I think you can probably say this for every game, is you got to win the turnover battle. And Hamilton, you know, did well in that regard last week. They had 3 interceptions. One was called back by a penalty. The other 2 stood, but they only got 3 points off those turnovers. So if Hamilton's defense can come to play, minimize what Trevor Harris and the run game and all those talented receivers can do, and maybe force a turnover in 2 and get to Harris via the sack, then, you know, if they can swing the momentum, win at least 2 out of the 3 phases of the game, which is going to be so hard to do because this Rough Riders team is so good, they're going to have a chance. I want to see something out of this defense in terms of making big stops as well, because last week against the Stamps, whether it was 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 14, Calgary always seemed to get a first down. And so this D has to find a way to make a big stop. So I'll be looking for that tomorrow night.
How wide open is the East? I've had a hard time predicting who sits where in this East division. I actually have it, Rick, that it could be a potential for the first time ever have
crossover.
I think the power might be in the East this year.
You know what? It's hard to tell. And, you know, going into this season, I was really the team that most intrigued me was Montreal because of the Davis Alexander factor. You know, his win-loss record is outstanding, but there's a big question mark there. He seems to be a gamer. He's got a great arm. He can scramble out of the pocket. Of course, they have an elite defense and a lot of weapons on offense. But I just thought throwing a guy in there to being the guy, you know, is he going to be able to do it week in and week out? And, you know, so far, he's getting it done. You know, Ottawa's made a few changes in the offseason, Hamilton especially defensively, and the Argos have lost so many pieces on defense especially that, you know, I looked at the East and thought, you know, what is going to happen in this division? Can Hamilton finish last or first? I wouldn't be surprised by either because, you know, you throw in some injuries, poor performances. Who knows? I think the East is wide open this season. The one team if I was, you know, a fan of them, I would be a little concerned, and that is the Argonauts. You know, too many losses, I think, on defense. Chad Kelly, at least at last check, wasn't ready to come back yet. Do they have enough in the tank to make a big run? I don't know. If you're an Argos fan, I might be a little worried.
How excited, Rick, are you for Spaceballs 2?
Oh, my gosh. I saw the trailer the other day, and I thought, yes, it's about freaking time. Nearly 4 decades later, this thing is coming back. So, absolutely.
Jamie saw that in our list, our show notes, and so I had to throw that out there because I saw you tweeting about it.
Yes.
This David, do we really need this though, Rick? Spaceballs
2? No, we do not. That's the beauty of it. We do not need this. We never did, and that's exactly why it's going to be beautiful.
I think when we all see it, we will all agree, yes, we did need this.
All right. Well, I just, with Rick Moranis, you know, making a comeback.
He's
okay.
Going to come in.
It's back. Got a little bit more of my support. Rick, always appreciate your time. I can't wait to see you in Regina in a few weeks.
Should be a lot of fun. Have a good one.
That is Rick Zamperin, the voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats Riders. Tiger Cats tomorrow, 5 o'clock is the kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show, 3 o'clock. And, of course, tomorrow's pregame show live at our watch party, Acre 21 Boston Pizza location in Regina. And then it's the Oilers.
It's going to be a good night.
Strudwick on the show tomorrow to preview the Oilers game between 5 and 6 ahead of puck drop for the Oiler game as that series is tied at 2. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we will remember one of the drunkest fans in the history of a championship celebration and the invention of the coactus next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pittsburgh Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, it was June the 13th, 2019, a historic day for basketball in Canada.
Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions, the Raptors. The 2019 NBA champs.
Yes, it was on this day Canada became a basketball country for about a month, and then Kawhi Leonard left, and it's all been downhill from there for the Toronto Raptors. But the gift that keeps on giving on June the 13th is being able to remember this man live in Toronto on live television carrying around a plant. And the interview just had to know.
Well, when you see him, tell him I got a housewarming gift. Tell him I love him.
I will. What kind of plant is that?
Tell him thank you for the shot.
What kind of plant is that?
It's a plant for Kawhi. It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi plant.
It's a Kawhi cactus.
Have a good night, man. Coactus.
It's a coactus.
I remember the shot. I don't remember the drunk coactus guy.
You don't remember the coactus guy? They actually found him at the parade, too. And he had the plant to give to Kawhi, the coactus, as the Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship on this day in sports history in 2019.
You think we'll ever get another one in Canada?
I don't think so. That they need a player like Kawhi to commit.
Yeah.
Even if it was only for a year. It was like when Pronger went to Edmonton for that 1 year. Made him a championship caliber team, then he pieced out, same way Kawhi pieced out. There are some rumblings that maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo might be interested to join the Toronto Raptors with Masai Ujiri leading the charge. Don't think that's going to come to fruition, but that is what you need. Or draft a guy as good as Vince Carter was and build from there until they go somewhere else.
You need that one guy. You need that superstar in basketball.
And it's going to be hard to drag somebody and pay him enough to be the Toronto Raptors guy. But they won one. They won that championship 6 years ago today on June the 13th.